I'd like you to take your Bible, if you would, and open it with me in the Old Testament to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. We'll read a number of verses in this chapter together in just a moment. We'll walk through the chapter. While you're turning to Deuteronomy chapter 8, let me give you four very special lesson aims that the pastor has given us in this particular study together. And you want to make note of these. They're found in your teacher notebook, and they summarize what we're trying to accomplish through this lesson. First of all, we want to understand that God wants us to know our place in His great purpose for our lives. One of the most liberating truths that ever came to my own heart was to realize that I didn't have to find a purpose for living. God already had a purpose for living. God already has a purpose in this world. And all I have to do is find my place in His purpose. Well, that's liberating. I don't have to try to invent something. I just find out what God is doing in this world. So that's the first great lesson aim in this particular study that we have together. The second is to see that God must humble us at times to remind us that we need His provision and blessing. Now, the great battle in all of life is the battle of self-sufficiency or faith. And faith says, my sufficiency is not in me, but my sufficiency is of God. And there's a great emphasis on that in this particular lesson, as you'll see in a moment. The third lesson aim is to realize that God will chasten His children when they're disobedient to Him. I want to say this from personal experience. I'm grateful for God's chastening hand. I wasn't always grateful for it in the middle of it, but if it were not for the chastening hand of God, I shudder to think where I would be tonight. God, in His mercy, puts up roadblocks, and we're going to study about some of those roadblocks in this study. But the Lord chastens His children. This is a mark of a believer, as we'll see in just a moment. And then the fourth lesson aim is to learn that times of prosperity are more dangerous than times of trouble, because in the time of blessing, we may forget God. Now, this is Bible truth, but it flies in the face of the prosperity gospel that's preached in our world today. This idea that if you're right with God, then suddenly everything's going to be right in your world, and you're going to have everything you ever wanted. Some of the things that we need are not the things we want. And that brings us to this lesson this week entitled The School of Hunger. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 1, we read these words, all the commandments which I command thee. Would you stop, please, and circle the little pronoun I and write that the Lord, Jehovah God, is speaking. The covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. This is not Moses' words. Moses is being used of God, but God says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Would you take your pen, please, and go with me to verse number 3 and underline these words, suffered thee to hunger. In other words, God allowed His own children, the children of Israel, His own people, God allowed them to hunger. This is the school of hunger. And may I hasten to say, this is not what the children of Israel would have chosen for themselves. This is what God chose for them. In reality, there are very few things in life that we would choose for ourselves as far as hardships are concerned. But God does the choosing because God knows what we need. And the Lord is the greatest instructor of all. In preparing to teach this lesson to you, I was reminded of several years ago when Pastor returned to us from his first spine surgery and the messages that he brought on lessons learned in the Lord's school. And I've not forgotten that. I've got it written in my Bible. And I remember him saying that there are certain lessons that can only be learned when you go through adversity and through difficulty and through the valley. And that's what this lesson is all about. The Lord is the instructor, and there are several great truths that must be learned. Let me give you a little background information before I show you the four great principles from Deuteronomy 8. The first thing you need to know about the book of Deuteronomy is that this is literally the book of the second law. This is the second time that the law is given, and the reason is he's trying to stir them up by way of remembrance to prepare them to enter into the land of Canaan. Deuteronomy is quite a book. It's quoted 50 times in the New Testament alone. This is the book of the Old Testament that the Lord Jesus Himself quoted from during the temptation. A classic example is found in verse number 3. Remember the temptation? The Lord looked at Satan and He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3. So if we're emphasizing what God emphasizes, the Lord places a great premium on the book of Deuteronomy. And we want to find out what God has to say to us. Now, it's important that we identify where the children of Israel were. If you go back with me in your Bible for just a moment to chapter number 1 and verse number 1, you find a little historical reference here about the children of Israel. Verse 1 of the book, the Bible says, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea." Now, put a star next to verse number 2, because he gives a very important principle here. He said, "It should have only taken my people 11 days to march from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea." Notice this in parenthesis. And then read verse 3. "And it came to pass in the 40th year." Underline that. God says to us, through inspiration of His Spirit, it should take 11 days, and it took them 40 years. 40 years of wandering around in that wilderness. Frankly, it takes some people longer to learn certain lessons in the Lord's school than others. And I don't know about you, but I want to learn what God has to say to me. I want to take His Word at face value. I want to let the Spirit of God deal with me, because I don't want to waste valuable days wandering around in the wilderness. What is this wilderness? Well, we know Egypt is a picture of the world. It's a picture of what God delivered us from when we got saved. Isn't it wonderful to be a child of God? We've come out of Egypt. Canaan is not a picture of heaven, as is so often depicted in songs and stories. Canaan is a picture of the abundant, Spirit-filled life. Everything God has for His children. There's still battles there, still enemies to fight, but there's so much abundance in Canaan. I want to get there. And the wilderness is the flesh. It's the conflicts and trials and things we have to go through to bring us to the end of ourselves, to bring us to the place of real dependence on God, so that by faith we can enter in and possess our possessions in Canaan. And one of the great lessons is this school of hunger that God brings us to in Deuteronomy chapter number 8. The truth of the matter is, and this is something that convicted me in this lesson, when someone asks you, "How do you know God has blessed you?" Immediately I start making a list. God's met my physical needs and given me health, and God's given us a nice home to live in and a car to drive and clothes to wear and food to eat. And we start making a list of those things. But if that's the only evidence you have of God's care and protection, something's not exactly like it ought to be. Because one of the great evidences that God cares for His children is that He brings them through great trials to teach them great lessons. There are some lessons that are not learned in blessing. They are learned in great adversity and great trial. We could even go so far as to say that some of the greatest blessings are the great trials. And none of us think that we're in the middle of them, but the Lord's teaching us some things. Four great lessons our instructor has to say to us. Number one, make note of them, would you please? The school of hunger teaches us to observe. These are Bible words. Look, please, at verse number 1. "All the commandments which I commanded this day shall ye observe." Would you circle the word observe? God says, the reason I'm bringing you to the school of hunger is I want you to observe some things. Notice, observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. There are so many believers that have no idea what God wants for their life. And you can stand in front of your class on the Lord's day and speak with confidence and say, God wants you to enter Canaan. It doesn't mean it's perfect, but God wants you to know abundance. He wants you to know joy. He wants you to know what it means for you to live by faith on a daily basis and enjoy His provision. That's the way God designed the Christian life to be lived. When does it happen? It happens when we get to the end of ourselves and we're so hungry we cannot stand it. And God says, it's not about you, it's about me. And we observe what God has to say to us. We observe God's work in God's Word. One of the great applications of this first principle in verse number 1 is that we're to observe these commandments. Give attention to the Word of God. If the only Bible people get is the Bible we give them on Sunday morning in a Sunday school class, they're shallow believers. The great truth is they learn to observe the Word of God every day of their life. And because of that, they start to see God at work in this world. And that's a great lesson that we learn in the school of hunger. The second lesson is that the school of hunger teaches us to remember. Look at verse 2. "And thou shalt remember," would you circle the word remember, "all the way." I love that phrase, remember all the way. Remember every step. Remember what God's done in your life. "Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Notice the purpose, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. "And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna." I want you to write this statement down, please. There is no hunger that man has that God doesn't have manna for. God allowed them to hunger. God let them get so hungry that they cried out, "Dear Lord, we're going to starve to death out in this wilderness." And at that moment, God gave them the very manna that they needed. Write down this reference, Exodus chapter 16. I hope before the Lord's day, take time to study Exodus 16. Because it describes this manna, what it looked like, what it tasted like. This is angel's food. And God provided it every day, just exactly what they needed for that particular day. And you know, that's just the way the Lord works. Give us this day our daily bread. What is the Lord doing? He's teaching us to remember Him. To remember that we don't provide our own needs, God provides for us. God is the one who takes care of us. Remember the testimony of the psalmist when he said, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." There is no hungry person that God doesn't say, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And God prompts us to remember Him and to remember His provision. Then a third word. Look, please, at verse number 5. "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." Would you circle the word consider? The school of hunger teaches us to observe, to remember, and now it teaches us to consider. And would you notice what it is we're supposed to consider? We're to consider the chastening of God. There's a very interesting phrase here that gives us some understanding in verse 5. Would you underline these words? "As a man, so the Lord." Just as surely as a father chastens his own son, God says, "I'm your father, I'm chastening you. I'm dealing with you." It's interesting, as you read the historical account of the children of Israel, they had a need, God met their need, still they disobeyed. What did God have to do? God had to chasten them, to bring them to the end of themselves. And God says, "I want you to consider, if you obey, I'll bless you and I'll meet every need you have. But if you disobey, I will chasten you." Well, write down this cross-reference, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. In Hebrews 12, verse 5, God says, "Despise not the chastening of the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." I want you to know I'm a son. If for no other reason, I've sensed God's chastening work in my life. And you're going to talk to people on the Lord's Day who are in the chastening hand of God, and they think God's forsaken them. It's one of the greatest evidences that God is at work in their life. He's chastening them. He's disciplining them. He's reminding them, "Look, I'll meet your needs if you just obey me." And this school of hunger teaches us to consider. Then lesson number 4, the school of hunger teaches us to beware. Look at verse number 11. He says, "Beware," would you circle the word, "that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full." And he goes on to describe this fullness all the way down through verse number 17. Would you circle two key words? In verse 11, circle the word forget. And in verse 12, circle the word full and draw a connecting line between the two. We forget the Lord in our fullness. Pastor talks a great deal in this lesson about the perils of prosperity. And he makes this statement that the most dangerous place in the Christian life is not in the valley. Because in the valley, remember last week's lesson? In the valley of Baca, you know you need God. But the most dangerous place is not in the valley, it's on the mountain. When all is going well and God's provided the manna and there's more than you could ever need, and God's sufficiency is there, if you're not careful, you start thinking, "You know, I'm making it all right." And you forget where the provision comes from. The school of hunger teaches us to beware. In verse number 18, we find a little conclusion to this chapter that we need to give attention to. The Bible says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." It is God that gives you everything you need. And God can not only remove the blessing, He can bring a curse. And that's what verse 19 talks about. I don't know about you. I don't want God to remove the blessing. And I sure don't want Him to bring a curse. Amen. So what do? In the school of hunger, we learn to observe, to remember, to consider, and to beware. Let me close by drawing your attention to verse number 20. Last verse. Notice how he closes the chapter. "As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be," what's the next word? "Obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." The great thing the Lord's trying to do in the school of hunger is just teach us to obey. And Pastor reminds us in this lesson of something he's said to us hundreds of times, that obedience is not just doing what God says to do, it is delighting in doing what God says to do. And the greatest lesson of all, the thing we're to observe and remember and consider and beware of, is that God has designed the Christian life to be a life of faith and obedience. As long as we live it that way, God meets our need, God gives us daily manna. And when we cease to live by faith and obedience, then God removes His hand of blessing. And may God use this lesson all of our lives in a great way to teach us this wonderful truth.